Computer, show me all popular media outlets of the 21st century.
Searching.
Hold it. This looks interesting. Hailing frequencies. Computer, do we have this on file?
That program is available.
All right. Let's hear it.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to possibly the most anticipated episode of Hailing Frequencies ever.
We've only done 15 shows, Zach. What makes this one so special?
Well, Caneus, it's special because we've been granted an exclusive interview with Darren Stinnett, who's the executive producer of Star Trek Online.
Wow! Well, Zach, we better hurry and rustle up some community audio questions and emails to read to Darren, then.
Already taken care of, Caneus. Relax. And if that wasn't enough, people, we also have details of Hailing Frequency's first ever sponsored competition.
Who's sponsoring it?
Don't you worry, we'll get to that. And we have another hilarious episode of Fleet Gossip from Faxa.
Uh-oh. I've got to go get my bulletproof jacket on in case he starts taking pot shots at me again, Zach.
Indeed. We're also launching the new Hailing Frequency website.
Woohoo!
And on top of all that, Caneus, I know you're itching to play another Arthur Uria song for Fleet Radio, so let's slip that in too. Ready, Caneus?
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Let's go get Victor.
Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present episode 15 of Hailing Frequency. Hey there, everybody. This is an interview with Darren Stinnett from Perpetual Entertainment about Star Trek Online. We've got Darren here, as well as Caneus from StarTrekOnline.net, and Victor representing StarTrek-Gamers.com, and myself from Star Trek Gaming Universe. First of all, I'd just like to say hi, everybody, and hi to Darren.
Thank you very much.
Evening, Zach. Evening, all.
Good evening.
So first thing, obviously, thank you for taking time to do this interview with us. I understand this is the first audio interview that you're doing regarding Star Trek Online.
That's right. I mean, you guys have been asking me to do this for a while, and I didn't feel like we were ready, but I think we're getting to a point where we can start doing these kinds of things, and I definitely wanted to start with you guys because you all have been so supportive of us, and just thought it was the right thing to do to start here.
It's been a lot of fun in the community, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing that we really wanted to talk about, you're at the point now where you've been in pre-production for a couple of months, and you just released some screenshots the other day, which uh-huh. were absolutely breathtaking.
Thanks.
So I mean, what's been involved in that getting to the point where you just got everything so polished, looking so beautiful? Because everybody's just gobsmacked. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, it's a normal part of pre-production, as you saw in Ian's article. We call it look development, and we're doing look development in a number of areas, and this was the first area we did. We actually did this look development back in December. And it really is just a, rapid exploration of what we might make a particular environment look like. And I think it's more than an exploration. It's definitely right in line with what we expect to deliver. But it's a normal part of pre-production. We'll be moving on to doing space combat or space environments and ships next. And then, of course, we also need to do ground environments. We really just wanted to. We picked that forum. We picked gamasutra.com because it's where a lot of very talented software engineers and artists hang out and look at it, and we wanted to get some of our images in front of them. We knew, of course, that we had copied around and that you guys would see it in no time, but we wanted to get our images out in front of them because we wanted to let the development community know just how cutting edge we are and you know, raise our profile because we're still recruiting and we want to get the very best and brightest.
So, Darren, is this the kind of the screenshots that was presented to the site, is this the kind of texturing and graphical wizardry that people might expect to see in Star Trek Online when it's released?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're fairly confident that it's representative. I don't think it's going to, you know, I think it's only going to look better than that when we actually release. We have a lot of work to do to continue to improve graphics above and beyond what you saw, and a lot of time to do that. So I think it's certainly a baseline for us.
So one last thing on that subject about the screenshots. Now, the screenshots themselves, I've got to admit myself, they look fantastic. They are top-notch. The texturing is absolutely perfect. There's one question, though, that's on quite a few people's minds. Will the graphics be so high-classed on the release of Star Trek Online that people with older systems, let's say, for argument's sake, if you've got a GeForce 5900 or a GeForce 6600, will those people still be able to play this game?
We're not going to set the requirements too high, for sure. I mean, we got to. You know, I think you've made the point, Victor, about the need to have a game running on systems that people actually have, and we agree with that. And in fact, actually, what you see there doesn't require too high. You know, doesn't have high requirements. Our expectation is that if you were to buy a middle of the road gaming PC today, that when we launch, it still would be a very viable platform to run Star Trek Online. Now, we have a lot of exploration yet to do. For instance, we had what you saw runs at a very good frame rate, and it looks even better when you see it live. And it, it runs at 90-100 frames a second. When we get characters in there and all the customizations going on and stuff like that, we have a lot of testing left to do, because of course when you get lots of customized characters in the scene, as you guys probably know, that's has a real impact on performance. So we have a lot of testing to do, but at this moment I'm fairly confident that we're not overshooting by any means, and it certainly doesn't take a high-end system today to run what you see.
Are the guys having a lot of fun working on that?
Yeah, it was great. It really gave the team a big boost. And we're just next week we're going to get started on the space iteration of that, so everybody's really looking forward to that too.
Okay. A lot of your team are, how shall we put it, they're big fans of Star Trek. So, how do they feel getting the chance to make something as massive as an online role-playing game for Star Trek? I mean, it's the first time that anything like this has been done for Star Trek, so I mean, how do they feel about that?
It's really exciting for all of us. I mean, it's obviously a high-profile project. It's a lot of fun for us to, to be interacting with the community and have people who, the day we walked in are already excited about what we're doing. That, that gives us a lot of motivation. We have a lot of fun reading your guys' comments, especially when we post something you guys like the screenshots. So it's really enjoyable, and for some people it's just a dream come true, because they've been immersed in Star Trek for so long and such big fans that they just keep Mike Stemley is one that comes to mind, that whenever I hear someone ask him how things are going, he'll just deadpan back. He says, "Well, I get paid to think about Star Trek all day." Yeah, he just loves it, and a lot of us are like that. It's just we pinch ourselves, so it's really a lot.
It's
got to
be a great pickup line at Star Trek conventions. I'm working on Star Trek Online.
Yeah. Well, and it's also exciting to be doing an MMO. I've been doing console games for the last few years. I've done PC games before, and MMOs are just at a scale and complexity and have a social dynamic that just is unlike any other kind of game you could build. And I think that, in and of itself, even Star Trek aside, is really exciting.
Speaking of games that go back a long time, you were involved with Donkey Kong Jr., correct?
I did a port of Donkey Kong Jr. I didn't actually work on the original. Of course, that was an arcade game. But I did a port of it to, I think it was the Commodore 64. So yeah, that was back in the early 80s.
Did you ever think games would get to this point? I mean,
no. If only I'd known. you know, it's just it just happened, and it was funny because you know, now we have budgets that, you know, $10 million budget, a $20 million budget, even $30 million budgets are not unheard of these days. And it wasn't too long ago that I heard people predicting that we'd have a $500,000 game budget, and I just thought that was ridiculous.
Mm.
You know, back when speaking of games for $30,000 to $40,000.
Last we had heard that there was a $12 million budget. I might be stepping into forbidden question territory here, but has the budget been up since then?
I don't think we've ever announced any budget that we're operating under, and I don't think that we will. It's just not typical that we go into that figure. But it's substantial.
So one question that would probably stem off from the whole budget thing, the changeover from Paramount to CBS, has it been easy for Perpetual, or has Perpetual basically been sitting in their dark corner, ignoring the rest of the world and just saying, right, don't worry about CBS, we'll just get the game out?
Well, we've been in contact with CBS, and Harry, of course, was very helpful in orchestrating that handover, and I think he'll continue to keep his eye on the whole thing. It's not his job anymore, but I think he's going to keep at least a corner of his eye on it. We've been in touch with them, and they've been fantastic. As far as we're concerned, it's business as usual. We just have some new people that we're in touch with.
You are listening to Hailing Frequency, the internet's hottest podcast, dedicated to all you Trek gamers.
Let's move on now. One subject that's been somewhat of a controversy in the past couple of years was the decision to only have a single faction at launch, with the Federation including the Klingons, the Trill, the Vulcans, the Andorians, and the Tellarites. So a lot of people are just wondering why the decision was made to only include one faction at launch, and, you know, what led to the decision being made, and just generally why.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's something that, Jay, when I came on to Star Trek Online, it was the first question I asked as well, and believe me, I've actually asked it since then a number of times, you know, and talked to the development team, you know, is this something we can do? And here's the answer. If you look at a lot of MMOs with factions, with multiple factions, there's really not any significant difference between the mechanics of the factions. They're just really coats of paint on the same basic mechanics. With Star Trek, it's a little more complicated because the Federation works differently than, say, the Klingon Empire or the Romulan Empire. And if we really were to go and do those empires, we'd be developing sort of, you know, very different sets of mechanics to support those factions, and that makes for an extremely complex game. And that's on top of, you know, just doing the Federation, which is in and of itself a very complex game because it has so many facets to it. So I think it's a combination of, you know, we'd spread ourselves really thin and not be able to do as good a job as we want to with the Federation. I think it would end up turning all the factions into sort of homogenizing them, turning them into more generic factions. And, you know, we don't want to do that. And the other thing I think we thought about too is, you know, we're unsure how this split would turn out with multiple factions. And, you know, what you don't want to end up with is one faction that's substantially larger than another, and make it difficult for the people in the smaller factions to, you know, to do as much trading and do as much grouping and things like that that the other faction enjoys. And so we're concerned about that balance is another, you know, I would say more minor concern. The larger concern is just the sheer scope of what we're trying to accomplish.
But the problem you might have, just going on about the faction subject for a little while longer, the problem you might have, well, you did mention about the problems of balancing if you had, like, two major factions released on the game launch. Now, let's say somewhere down the line, I don't know how long this would take, like maybe a year after Star Trek Online is launched and everyone's in there playing their favourite person, and let's say you release a big expansion which adds the Romulans, and won't the idea of having a balance issue still come up if you do actually release an expansion with another race, because what you'll have is you'll have everyone playing, everyone, literally everyone playing in one single race, and this new faction will launch with no one in it at the start, which means all the players in there have got to level up and do all the stuff to catch up with the Federation. Have you given any thought to what kind of help or assistance you would give any new faction opening up?
We've given some cursory thought to that, and I don't know that we've, you know, spent enough time to solve the problem. But you're absolutely right. I do believe that's a significant obstacle to overcome. If we build up the Federation, with players, and then like you said, bring on the Romulans or something like that. You know, you of course have the same imbalance. The other thing is we could go and head into other territories. You know, we haven't talked a lot about what kinds of expansions we're going to do, but we could head on over to DS9 section of the galaxy or something like that and do something totally different. So there's a lot of options, but we actually have talked about some ideas on how we would balance out, even if we were to stay over in the beta quadrant, what kinds of things we could do to balance out, new factions. But honestly, I don't think we talked about it enough to figure it out. And there's no doubt that we're making some trade-offs to do this. But we feel that in the long run, we're making the better choice, that we'd rather do one faction really well. We do have some ideas just in their infancy on how to incorporate PvP into the game, outside the holodeck, even within a single faction. Within our initial single faction game, we have been talking about those ideas to help us sustain the game at the higher level. But at the end of the day, we feel that that's a better choice than to shortchange the Federation or to shortchange any of the factions.
Okay, I'm actually glad that you mentioned PvP, because it was something that was going to bring up. Obviously, only having one faction does limit the PvP somewhat, and a lot of people were, let's say, disgruntled about that, because PvP does play a rather large part in MMOs these days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is in terms of it being limited to the holodeck, for example, is that, do you think that's going to have any adverse effects on how the game will play out? Will it put people off, or
perhaps there'll be some that would that would choose to play it if it were a multi-faction game with a robust PvP, who wouldn't if it's a single faction game. I think there's a lot we can do to bring PvP into the game even in this single faction. I think the key requirement is that there be some impact on the actual game itself as a result of PvP. So for instance, if PvP in the holodeck, if all it does is just a match, and it's like playing Battlefield or Battlefield 1 for that matter, or a first person shooter game where there's no persistence. If it was the case where you stepped into the holodeck, you did your match, and it came out, and there was no consequence on the actual game because of what happened in the holodeck, then I think that would just be a half step towards delivering on PvP. But if there's some sort of actual tangible benefit you get out of winning in the holodeck, and like I said, we actually have some other scenarios that we have in mind that could take place outside the holodeck that I'm not ready to go into right now, but that could also have some actual game. I think that it helps to even the playing field in that respect, because I think that's really what people want, is they want an option to play PvP and have that be a part of the persistence of their character.
I think it's really neat that you were, kind of changing subjects here, neat that you got Michael Okuda and Andrew Probert on board.
Yeah, we're really excited about that too. Those are guys are great to work with. It's something that we'd only dreamed about when we first started, and we contacted them. They were very willing to help us out, and it's been a lot of fun. So it's worked out great.
The community's just thrilled Mr. Probert's involved in designing the Galaxy Class ship for you.
Good, yeah, we've seen that. That's been a great response, and it's certainly helped a lot, because We really, as you guys have seen, there's a lot of things that we need to do in order to turn the Star Trek world into a world that's going to work well for an MMO, and it's really helpful to have those guys on board, because it makes our changes seem, feel more purposeful, I guess.
You've got a really good art director too, Ken Henderson.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he's very talented.
He's been around a while, too. His work, his resume is pretty neat.
Yeah. We're really excited to have him on the team. He and I worked together at LucasArts as well.
So how long are we taking a break for, Zach?
Oh, just a minute or two. Enough for a bathroom break.
All right, then why don't we go ahead and roll the next fleet gossip while we're taking a bit of a break here, then.
Okie dokie, you got it.
Just when you thought everything made sense. Just when you felt you could share how you really felt on the boards. And just when you thought humanity had finally started to evolve into that true civilized culture, think again. It's time for Fleet Gossip, exploring the lighter side of humanity in our little corner of Stonet life. Hello, friends. I hope all are well today. I bet you wonder who my next victim is. After all, it's my way.
Input algorithm not accepted.
Could it be Ollie? Could it be Tyshell? Could it be you this time? Or could it be Azar Kel? No matter whom I pick, oh, my poetic justice will be swift. This thread was started by Tears. He knew I'd catch his drift. So, Mr. Tears, or should I call you Wesley? Did you think your words were up there with Elvis Presley? Not a chance. Not even close, I say. For after I'm done, you'll all go away. Well, here I am, king of this rhyme. Yeah, baby, I win this time. But now that I'm the winner, I feel like I'm just a beginner. Cause now I can't stop. Could anyone please call me a doc?
That is not a valid question.
Dang it, Tears! You caused this to happen. My mind is stuck in gear. I can't stop from rapping.
Override authority restricted.
I just want to get back to normal and have my usual gig. But now I'm feeling really informal. I feel like a stuck pig.
Help me.
Priority one, broadband distress signal.
Oh, the agony of this never-ending rant. I have got to stop, but alas, I can't.
Dazzling display of logic.
Fine, okay, now I'm begging.
Our minds are merging.
Please stop me.
Our minds are one.
My face is starting to get an egging.
I feel what you feel. I know what you know.
This isn't fair, this isn't supposed to happen. If ever I find you Tears, people, I'm serious, I'm going to slap him.
1 minute to auto-destruct.
So how do I end this horrible rap? Inara, Louisa, anyone, please give me a slap.
Unable to comply.
I swear I'm going to pull the plug.
You will all die.
This is the act of some evil thug.
There is no escape.
Make it stop, please. Anyone there?
Auto-destruct sequence armed.
This is so bad, it's messing up my hair.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
I'm serious. I'm breaking into a sweat. This is worse than losing the most horrible bet.
Please abort and retry.
To think I'm getting stuck in this rut. I mean it, man. I'll kick all your butts.
Pull out the plug spot.
Ha! I think I figured it out. Perhaps I'll just end the show now with a bout.
How many others have you done this to?
No, that won't do, because I have to look cool.
What gives you the right to hand out life and death?
But soon my mouth is going to make me a fool.
Kirk Enterprise, Enterprise. Enterprise, come in. Kirk Enterprise.
Where is Scotty when I need him most? To beam me away so I can then boast. Oh, now, dang it, it's hopeless, I can tell. The entire fleet gossip is gonna smell.
The plug must be pulled.
That does not compute.
That's it. Now I have decided to declare this show over, even though I'm derided.
Must you always be so bastardized?
So consider yourself the victor this time, Tears.
Moving back to original course and speed.
Next time, I'll win by sneaking you beers.
You will be absorbed.
Labatt's it'll be, because that's my choice drink. Who knows, maybe we'll end up in the clink.
Incorrect.
But for now, I yield this battle to you. I need to get out of here. I'm feeling quite blue.
No audio anomalies present.
So there you have it. I'm my own victim today.
Working.
Don't get any ideas, people. I'm still here to stay. Next time, I'll be back with plenty of words.
Mr. Scott, right in the transporter room.
Aye, sir.
Man, this poetic justice is for the birds.
Mixed with alcohol, it merely deadens certain nerve inputs to the brain.
Oh, well, any decent brand of scotch will do that.
You have been initiated into Fleet Gossip. Everything you say can and will be used against you.
Okay, we're going to do some community questions now. These are questions we've had submitted in from the community over the past 2-3 weeks, basically since you agreed to do the interview. The first one's from a guy called Op D-Day 2001, and he asks the following. Considering the near-daily visits to multiple forums by the other members of the development team, I assume that you two have been around, or at least have been kept up to date on the community happenings thus far. My question is, what do you think of the communities so far, and what topics, if any, are important to the developers?
Well, it's been an interesting ride. We announced this product early, and a community coalesced right away around this game. And, at first it was a little daunting. Here we are, just coming off of securing the license, and already we have a fan community going before we even had the design underway and things like that. What we decided to do was embrace it and to try to involve the community as much as possible into what we were doing and get their feedback on our ideas, and also use as an opportunity to hear other ideas and as input into the process. And so what we tried to do is be as open as possible. I think we've been successful at being more open about what we're doing, both in terms of what our process is and what decisions that we're making, than any other major MMO in development or that has been in development. And it's been very satisfying for us. It's a bit of a trick for us at the same time, because what we want to do is we want to stay under the radar. We want to expose what we're doing to the fan community that we have. We don't want to make that grow too large, because if we start to build too much expectation, then it just starts to consume a lot of our time away from development and so on and so forth. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to scale our audience and the people that we're interacting with to match where we are in development. And that's why we've, for instance, when I say that we did this look development back in December, but we're only letting the screenshots out today, is that we're conscious that when we go and release something like screenshots, it just starts to build more expectation, which of course leads to more interview requests and more media requests and things like that, and all these things can be a distraction for the team. So we're trying to stay very focused on building a really good game at the moment. And that's just a little bit of kind of background of the community. With the community that we do have, it has been wonderful. They've been a constant source of great ideas. We actually have a mailing list we call STO Community Ideas that we have that circulates within the team, that people forward interesting threads where you guys have come up with excellent thoughts, ideas, features, things like that that we think are really valuable. And of course, we also like to hear what you think of our ideas, and that's why we set up the blog, so that we could post our ideas out there and get feedback. And I think that one of the things that I enjoy most about the community is its diversity. What's most helpful to us is when we get ideas from all kinds of different points of view, and that's exactly what we're getting. So,
were there any topics that were important to the developers? I'm sure they all are, but...
Yeah, I don't think there's any one particular category of topics. One of the things that, in the development updates that I've been doing, one of the things I wanted to start doing with the very next development update, which I'm overdue to do now, but is sending back out to the community what kinds of topics we've been forwarding around and looking at it. We read a lot of them. Everybody on the team reads a lot of the topics, casually, but I wanted to send out some of the ones that we found to be particularly interesting or informative. Just looking here at some of the stuff that we've looked at over the last month or two, there was a topic on which items is loot. We found that very interesting. There was a lot of great ideas in there. There was a long topic on diplomacy. Some different ideas on how to make diplomacy work in the game. That was forwarded around. A thread on first and last character names. Another good one, which is called Wildlife in STO. It was talking about all kinds of different creatures you might run into. And there was a very good list of creatures that people had come up with that might make appearance in the game. And we just love to get that kind of information. Another one that was very useful was there was one particular article of a guy who came in. I don't remember his name, but he came onto the boards and he posted a long
article on what he thought Star Trek Online might be like before he had read anything. He hadn't read the FAQ, hadn't read the forums. He just put out, you know, just sort of blank slate. Here's what I think it was going to be like. And he was very articulate and had some really interesting ideas and wasn't far off from, I think, what we have in mind in a lot of ways. And it was a very enjoyable read. And it's helpful to get that kind of perspective, you know, just a fresh perspective on what Star Trek Online might be about.
Just to follow on from that question slightly, the fact that you go around reading all these topics, do you think that any of the opinions, any of the ideas that people do state in these threads, do you think any of those will affect the development of the game? You know, do they steer the direction which you might go in some aspect?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's, you know, it's that's why we're doing it, and that's why we're involved with the community now, and why we've been involved in the community is so that we can utilize your guys' participation as a sounding board, you know, for our ideas, and also, you know, to hear your own ideas. It's helped enormously, and like I said, it's a trade-off because it's certainly an effort, and when we're a very small team, it does take a lot of effort to, you know, continue to make posts and to write blogs and get materials ready to send out and screenshots and things like that. But in balance, we think it's worth it. You know, the trade-off is that, you know, it will be, you know, the people that are on there now, they've been very dedicated to Star Trek Online and been patient. And it's going to be, you know, I think relative to most MMOs, when they start getting their communities going, it's going to be a long wait until the game comes out. But we felt like the people would appreciate the opportunity to get involved early, and that those people who were interested in that kind of opportunity would be willing to wait until we finally ship.
Okay, Victor, next question, please.
Oh, sorry. Yep, this one's from Dab, and sorry, Dab, I've reworded this. It's a bit on the long side. Has Perpetual looked at design elements of other MMOs like City of Heroes or World of Warcraft and thought about possibly adding some elements of those MMOs into Star Trek Online?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that's a normal part of any development cycle. You know, it's I don't think anybody creates a game and just closes and walls themselves off from the competition and you know, other ideas. I think everything builds upon, every game that comes out builds upon the ideas of other games that have come before it. And certainly we're no exception. We make a point of playing a competitive MMO at least once a week, just as a team. We all get into it and play it as a team. I think right now we've been playing City of Villains, but we'll move on to some other games soon. But we also all individually play, you know, various MMOs and certainly take into account what they've done, and not only, you know, try to find the best ideas from various MMOs, but also figure out how we can improve upon the existing ideas that we see. Star Trek itself does demand some really innovative and new solutions to problems. So we have plenty of work to do to solve some of the problems that Star Trek presents, or some of the challenges I think Star Trek presents, you know, for an MMO world. So it's you know, it's nice to be able to look to other MMOs and see what they've done in order to allow us to focus on those things that really make Star Trek Star Trek.
Folks like Gaming Steve have said there are a lot of inherent flaws in sci-fi MMOs. Do you find that to be the case?
I think sci-fi certainly is a challenge. You know, I think he does make good points about space and the, you know, inherent emptiness of it and difficulty in paying off on exploration and things like that. And but I think what we found is that Star Trek gives us a lot to work with in the space environment. The fact that it's both a space and a ground property and sort of demands to be both, and of course the game will be both, I think helps us enormously as well. And I think we're fairly confident that we're going to prove Gaming Steve wrong on this point. I think we have some extremely innovative ideas for how to make the experience of being in space much more warm, much more human, and much more interesting to explore than you might naturally expect.
The next question I have is from 68th, and he says, "Hi there, this is 68th. I think we really need to get some info about the combat system since no one really knows what PE's position is. Is it going to be similar to first or third-person shooter?" And then he goes on to say, "Is it going to be traditional RPG combat, or is the game going to determine your aim, movement, and fire?"
Mm-hmm. Well, it is RPG combat. I mean, we are an MMORPG, and I think there are some, there are some mechanics that work well for RPGs. And they're inherently stat-based, and ultimately, they're about your character more than they are about, the player. It's about building up a character, and so the game is determining how well your character is going to do in any particular battle based upon how you built out your character. And that's fundamental to the way we're building this game. And we feel like it's important that we stay with that combat paradigm in order to remain an MMORPG versus becoming something like Battlefield 2 or something like that, where it's only marginally persistent.
Yeah, I've got one question. I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. Perpetual did say that the official site and forum for Star Trek Online would be opened up sometime in 2006. Any idea of, or any word on how the progress is going on with that?
It's something I've been thinking about, when we want to do that. You know, again, coming back to my earlier point, I've been really trying to be careful to make our presence in the community and the gaming community is at large to reflect our state of development. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I don't want to set expectations too high and then draw a lot of people into the fold and then make them wait a long time. We really like the kind of low-key nature of that it is right now, and that the people who really are strongly interested in what we're doing find their way to us through your guys' sites primarily, and other people that are very dedicated. So I'm sensitive about creating too big of a presence, drawing in too large of an audience. And of course, when we go out and launch an official site, that'll be a big deal, and it will get a lot of press and set a lot of high expectations and grow the community. And so I'm careful about that. I think what we had in there was Q1 of 2006, so that means that according to that, I have till March 31st. 2006 to get it up and running. Honestly, I don't know whether I'll get it up that soon or not. It may be more towards summer before we get it up and launched.
Anyway, this next question is from Gene Marciniak. I hope I pronounced that right, Gene. He's from STGU. This question stood out from all three. When in the game will you be given a map of the universe to set course for stars, planets, etc., etc.?
Well, I think I think it'll happen fairly early in the game. The players will get an opportunity, at least in a small shuttle, to range out. I think they'll be limited on their range, and as they grow in rank, they'll get access to larger and larger ships that essentially let them go out into deeper and deeper into space. But we're not going to be limiting the player, in a big way at all. From the time you start the game, and there may be some limitation when you first start, but we don't expect to be too many more than a rank before you might be able to start setting out on your own in space.
So in effect, you can just hop into a shuttle, take off from the planet, and just pick a direction and just go.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to hop into even a medium or a large ship into higher ranks of the game.
Corkiness, that interview is going really well, but I tell you, I'm getting a little bit peckish, so I'm just going to run down to the ship mess hall and grab a bite to eat.
Alright, well, grab me a coffee while you're down there. I'm going to go ahead and throw on this week's Fleet Radio. I've been wanting to play that other Arthur Uria song for everybody.
Okie dokie, we'll be back right after Fleet Radio.
Fleet Radio.
What did I say this time to make you feel to be my victim in your mind? What did you tell? to scare yourself. I'm not so bad. In fact, I'm just like you.
Track number 2 from the album Of the Lovely by Arthur Yoria from Magnatune.com.
Fleet Radio.
You are listening to Hailing Frequencies, the fastest growing podcast on the internet.
Okay. Panis, can we have the next community question, please?
Sure. This one comes from Nazareth. Hope I'm saying that right. One thing I have been wondering about is which ships they are definitely planning to include in the game, or at least wanting to include at this point. It's a pretty big question.
Yeah, it is a big question. I'm sure there'll be a long list. And honestly, we haven't even started that list. I mean, we know some basic ones, some of the prominent TNG era ships.
Sovereign Galaxy, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I forgot to put in my 2 cents from Warchild over at Cugs. He wants his Peregrine.
Right.
There's so many people out there that want fighters.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll end up getting fighters. It's not really the focus of this game at this point. You know, individuals out in ships and you know, doing fighter combat type of thing. It's more about larger ships. Though we will have some smaller ships, which are more sort of runabout type of things and shuttles. But there'll be a long list. We just haven't developed it yet, and I think it's obviously we have
enormous number of chips to draw from in all eras. Plus, we'll be designing our own chips. And I think Chesmas sent me an email about, you know, could we design one and name it after Harry Lang, and we thought that was a very good idea, so I think we'll see the USS Harry Lang in there, whatever that ends up looking like. Yeah, it's going to be a fun thing, and I think we can do a lot with that. I think there'll certainly be a lot of great opportunities to do promotions or you know, contests and things like that, where people get to submit their ship designs or name a ship or something like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a big part of the game, I'm sure.
Okay, the next community question I've got here is actually an audio one, so I'm just going to attempt to play the audio question for you, if you just bear with me for 2 seconds.
Sure.
Hi, Darren, this is Drake, and thanks for taking my question. My question actually is a two-part question, both related to types of players playing Star Trek Online. First part of the question is regarding the role player, characters who like to role play, and I specifically to do with servers. MMOs in the past have had servers for North American players or European players and such. I was wondering if Perpetual had any thought into creating a role playing server specifically for the players who really like to get into character and role play with others. And my second part of the question is regarding the casual to the more long term player. There are players who will log on for simply 15 to 20 minutes, and there are players who will log on for hours and hours. And I was wondering how Perpetual plan to tackle those types of players. Will there be access to quick, simple missions that the short-term player would like to enjoy for 15 to 20 minutes? But I'm talking not something as simple as just a trading mission or a delivery mission. I like to see some simple short-term missions that will really play into the character's development. Obviously, will not have such an impact as a player that spends an hour to 2 hours. But what my concern is, there are players who will obviously have more time than others to sit down and log on and play Star Trek Online. So I was wondering how Perpetual would tackle that sort of problem where players will have more time than others to spend on developing their characters. So thanks for taking my question, Darren, and we're really looking forward to playing Star Trek Online.
Good question. So on the role-playing servers, yes, it's something that we certainly have considered. I can't say that we have firm plans because we just haven't even gotten to the point where we've started to break down, you know, what servers and what territories and that kind of thing. We'll be doing that probably, you know, later in development. But certainly it makes sense to me to have role-play servers set aside for people who really want to get into character. We've even thought about, you know, certain kinds of restrictions that we can put on those worlds to reinforce role-playing of one type or another, and help people, you know, feel like their world is more uniform with the role-playing expectations. So, yeah, we've certainly thought about things like that. And then on the second question about playtime, this is something that we're also very sensitive to. We want this to be a game that people can, you know, quickly get in and out of if they so choose, or to spend a lot of time in. So I think that we'll be addressing that by making sure that there are plenty of, you know, smaller bite-sized missions that people can do, and not saving sort of the long epic missions for higher level content. We also have some great ideas for some offline advancement opportunities, things to help people when they're when they're not able to play as much as other players. This is something that's sort of a pet peeve of mine. Since I'm so busy making the game, I can't always play as often as my friends play when I play MMOs, and so I personally have given a lot of thought to how to help players that can't play as often keep up with their buddies.
Hey there, Star Trek fans! Are you tired of the endless arguments on the official message boards? Well, if you are and need to take a break, get stoned. That's right, stoned! A Star Trek-inspired cartoon found only on StarTrekOnline.net. That's Star Trek, that hyphen thing, online.net. And while you're there, check out Stowaways, the original Star Trek Online cartoon that inspired Stone. So, my friend, if you need a break, get stoned.
Okay. Back when Star Trek Online was first announced, you got an FAQ fairly quickly, and obviously it was one of the early versions of the FAQ. But in there, you did actually state that a beta for Star Trek Online would be, I think it was end of 2006, beginning of 07. That was later on removed from the facts. I was just wondering what the official position was on that.
Well, I think I can say that our beta will probably be in... we're anticipating that it will be in the summer of 2007. Right. Now. We still have quite a bit of work to do to continue to flesh out the design, although the design is very far along at this point. We have a lot of work to do to, you know, part of pre-production is in testing things, prototyping things, trying out methods and techniques to figure out how long it's going to take us to build the design that we have. So we're still in that process. So the reason, you know, that date that was in there was pulled out about the time I started because, you know, frankly, it was just too early to be announcing when it would be coming out when we didn't have a solid plan for the game. So we're getting closer to that solid plan, and, you know, that summer of 07 for a beta date, I think, is reasonable. It's just a good guess from my point of view right now. So I think that in another, you know, certainly within another 6 months, you know, we'll have all the data and plans in place to know exactly when we think we're going to hit the street.
Will the beta be open to worldwide, or will it just be North America and Canada, like most betas are?
Well, I think because it's, you know, of course, it's because it's the internet. People can log into the beta anywhere. But honestly, we haven't made any specific plans for our beta, so I can't really answer that question. Whether we'd have specific servers set up for you know, different territories in beta or not, I don't know.
Glenn had said early on that Star Trek Online was not in a position to be canon-defining, and since the announcement that Andrew Probert has come online, in his press release it said that he was creating new things that would be considered canon-defining, and that you would possibly be able to break into that territory with Star Trek Online. Is that the position?
You know, canon is, I think, is the...
A headache?
Certainly. certainly that. No, it's certainly is the shows, and it's the movies, and it's the history that's there from those two sources. And it's a word that, you know, is most, you know, I think when we think about it in the terms of, you know, what Andrew is saying, and you know, what it really comes down to is for CBS now, what do they see as the rule set? Mm-hmm. Or the Bible for the Star Trek series, and I think, you know, I have to imagine that if they see something interesting that's been defined in a game like ours, that they would, you know, not hesitate to use it if they felt that it was useful for, say, a new movie or a new series or something like that. But at the same time, I think to say that we are defining canon would be to say that we somehow are defining Star Trek for CBS, and I don't think that's the case. I think if they saw something that they didn't like that we did, they certainly would go the other way. And I don't think we want to be in a position where what we were doing is defining canon, because that would only serve to restrict us, because then everybody would be looking at it with a much more wary eye about what are we doing to affect, you know, that would potentially affect other media down the road.
As CBS plans its future Star Trek series down the road, will Star Trek Online be in a position to work with those storylines and evolve with what they put out there?
Certainly, I think that we would look into that. We don't know anything about their plans right now down the road, but it's certainly, you know, we certainly would see it as a great opportunity to get involved in that. I think CBS would see that as an opportunity as well, so certainly.
Another important topic that I feel should be brought up just before the interview comes to a close is non-combat professions, the subject of non-enlisted positions, basically jobs and professions in the game that are outside of Starfleet. I mean, are there any plans for anything like that at the moment?
There are no plans outside of Starfleet. Everything that we're doing happens inside of Starfleet. I think that there'll end up being plenty of non-combat things to do within Starfleet, and it's just a natural part of Star Trek that you have that. That said, you know, we're not going to make a game where you can, say, be an engineer and all you do is fix things. You know, you never have to go out and go into combat. It would for us to head down that path would
A, we would be inventing whole new modes of playing, which is extremely difficult to do, and B, we'd find ourselves in a position where we'd be developing multiple games simultaneously, and that would just dilute our focus acceptably. So, every class you play is going to involve combat. But like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for non-combat advancement and non-combat activities.
Starship battles themselves, are they going to be fairly canon, or are they going to be a little bit more like the Starfleet battles rule set?
Well, I think we looked canon for to influence everything that we plan for space combat. I think everything is somehow grounded, it's grounded somewhere somehow, and Star Trek's really great in this way because they've done so many different things. There's a lot of material to draw from, and at the end of the day, we're focused on making a fun gameplay experience, and we will look anywhere and everywhere to find what we need in order to deliver that fun gameplay experience. And we recognize that, for instance, most of the battles, space battles you see in the show are phasers and photon torpedoes, a little diplomacy mixed in. We're certain that if our balance was weighted in the same way, people will get quickly tired of that kind of mechanic. So we'll be adding a lot into the mix. But like I said, it's always going to be somehow, somewhere rooted in canon or in something that we've seen before.
Let's say when the game launches, right? The site that I run is generally based along the lines of the clan world, even though the clan world of Star Trek gaming is quite frankly falling apart, which should hopefully be reversed when Star Trek Legacy gets released. But a lot of the fleets are thinking to themselves, well, there's basically going to be no all-out-and-out ship-type battles for a little while. What kind of incentives will player groups, the clans, and even to a certain extent single players have when they actually nip into the game? What's going to be the driving force that makes people say, this is the game I want to spend all my waking life in?
Well, I think the things that that propel the player forward are, of course, achieving rank and the privileges that will go with rank. And exploration. We're very excited about exploration in this game. It's not only fundamental to Star Trek, it's something we have to deliver on. But I think the very nature, because we're doing the galaxy, and because it's not a, it's not a continent like in most MMOs, that's somewhat landlocked, it's a wide open place. It's easy for us to continue to add content to the universe, and for people to go out and discover it. And I think that's going to be a key draw. And of course, I think the other thing that's going to be maybe even foremost in all of this is just the ability to acquire some new and some not so new, some well-known and some brand new ships, and upgrades and things like that, and build up your ship, and ultimately build up your ship and take out your friends in that ship and go out on missions. How can I get any more excited than that? It seems like a big payoff to me.
That sounds very exciting to me.
Yeah.
I know where I'm spending the next 10 years of my life.
Okay, one other question. Voice over IP has been making an appearance in a lot of the more recent games lately as a form of communication. Are there any plans for it in Star Trek Online at the moment?
Well, of course, people can certainly already play, and in just about any game, have voice over IP with things like X-Fire and whatnot without the game supporting it directly. So, one way or the other, people are going to be able to do it in Star Trek Online. But I'm guessing your question is, are we going to support it natively within the game? It's something that I would like to do. Like I said, until we get done doing all our planning, I can't say for sure, but I agree with you that it's a natural in Star Trek, and it's one of the features that I expect to rise to the top is something that we expect to do.
Yeah, it would just add so much to the gameplay, just to be sitting there on the bridge and, you know, instead of having to type out your orders to all your little crewmen, you know, just saying to them what you want done, it would just add, you know, so much to the experience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can just imagine myself sitting on the bridge of a Galaxy class, bawling down the microphone, telling people to hurry up and go and do something. That'd be fun. Yeah.
I haven't looked into it very much, other than to think about, yeah, that would be a great idea. But I can't imagine it's that hard to do. So, yeah, I could end up eating my words, we'll see.
Is the holodeck still proceeding? Are folks still working on that?
Well, the holodeck, you know, exists right now in the design, so no one's actually building it. We're focused on building the main experience, which, of course, is, you know, space combat and ground combat and all of the activities that the player does to traverse around the world and deal with other players and whatnot. The holodeck, at the very least, becomes a gateway to different kinds of content. You know, beyond that, there are some interesting plans, but those things are probably further down the road when we see what kind of progress we made in other areas that are more critical.
Somebody wanted to know if Star Trek Online was going to be endorsed by NASA.
I certainly hope so. I know Mike Okuda has a lot of good contacts at NASA, so maybe he can work something up for us.
Yeah, a lot of folks believe that, you know, with Star Trek being so, again, there's that word, canon, you know, with space being so canon, and some of the even the technical systems on the ships being downright scientifically canon, you know, a lot of folks see it as a way to, even though Star Trek was never meant to really teach people anything, it was supposed to be entertainment, that there's something to be learned from it.
Certainly. I mean, what we, you know, what I'm most excited about is the hopeful, idealistic vision of the future and the idea of people getting along. I think this is so great because, to me, that's what MMOs are all about. People come from all walks of life and all backgrounds and all countries, and they get together in an MMO and they go out and have shared experiences together and get to be friends. And, you know, a lot of people end up, of course, you know, getting to know each other in an environment that allows them to do that where they might not get to know each other in real life. And that's what I love about MMOs, and I think that's very consistent with Star Trek. So that's, I feel like, from my point of view, the biggest payoff that we can make is to deliver on that aspect of Star Trek.
Last break, Caneus. But man, can't believe that subspace interference.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, Zach. I hope the listeners aren't wanting to kill us at this point. Folks, boy, we're sorry about that. We're getting solar flares or something.
Captain, incoming message from Chief Engineer Danner.
Acknowledged, Ensign. Put it on loudspeaker.
Hey everyone, this is Dano, the STGU webmaster. Isn't Zach doing a great job? I think so. Now, if you knew the beginnings of Hailing Frequency, you'll know that it started out with a interesting idea by Chessmess, the STGU founder. And he produced the first couple episodes. But then Zach, a member of the forums, said, "Hey, I want to get involved. What can I do?" So, after a few meetings between the two people, Zach became the Hailing Frequency producer. Now, recently, Kineas of the STONet forums has been added to the team, and they've produced a few episodes on their own. And additionally, just very recently, Faxer from the STONet forums was added to the Hailing Frequency team as well. Now, these guys, they got off their butts and they said, "Hey, we want to do something for the community." And they went up and did it. Now, if you can see how big Hailing Frequency is of a success, then you can get a glimpse into what I'm requesting of the community. What Star Trek Gaming Universe is looking for is we are looking for site directors. Now, what these people would be doing is they'd be involved with gathering news, information, screenshots, and files for a whole bunch of Star Trek games, and especially the new ones, such as Star Trek Online, Star Trek Tactical Assault, and Star Trek Legacy. So, if you are interested in any means possible. And it doesn't matter if you have experience using PHP or HTML or Photoshop. What you should do is you should contact us at stgu.team@gmail.com. Or, alternatively, you can just private message myself, Dano, or Trickster in the forums for more information. And all it takes is you take the initiative, contact us, and you could be the next site director for Star Trek Online or Star Trek Legacy. If you're interested, again, give us a shout, and we'll hook you up. Until then, live long and frag often.
Okay, I think we're getting to the point now where we're, you know, obviously getting towards the end of the interview. We've taken up quite a lot of your time, Darren. So if there's any last questions that either of you'd like to ask,
where to begin? A whole year's worth of questions. You know, I think I would be letting a lot of people down if I didn't ask this question. I know this is way looking forward, considering where you guys are at, but there's a lot of talk about going towards 2009 as everybody goes all digital, that we're going to see an MMO tie into a television show. And a lot of folks think that Star Trek Online needs to be the MMO that ties into a television show. And so I think they would get mad at me if I didn't ask that. Or, you know, is that the big goal for Star Trek Online down the road? Has anybody mentioned it at all?
I just wrote that down. That's a great idea. I can't say it's on the drawing board. It's very exciting. I think you're right. It's a natural.
A lot of folks would like to see the writers, or at least our actions, in some way affect the overall storyline of what we're seeing on TV as well. So at the end of a season hanger, if the Romulans come storming in at the border, we as the subscribers have to go deal with that situation. And based upon how we deal with the situation, that will affect how the writers proceed with the next season.
Yeah, that's very cool, and I think it's possibilities like that that get me very excited about what we're doing. And you know, to get to that level, it means we've really made a game that appeals at a very wide level, that would feel like it would be a match with a television show, which of course has very broad appeal. And if we do that, then how wonderful is that for everybody?
I've got a question just popped into my head there, just out of nowhere, and it's based around an MMO which I'm actually playing just now, made by a Swedish company called Project Entropia. Has Perpetual ever considered the idea of maybe allowing real life companies in the real world actually advertise in the game itself? Now, there's a reason I'm asking that question. If that could happen, and if enough businesses were interested in advertising inside the actual game itself, the possibility could arise of maybe, instead of having Star Trek Online as a game be subscriber-based, you could give out Star Trek Online free. Now, wait a minute. I know you're having a heart attack right now. You can give out Star Trek Online free, but if the player wants to progress in any way, then they would have to give out the subscription. They would actually have to pay for it. But at the same time, the real-life businesses advertising inside the game would cover the costs. Have you thought about that?
Well, we are looking at different models different kinds of subscription models pay-to-play type models or pay-as-you-go kind of models. We are thinking about those different kinds of models. We don't have any firm plans for anything outside the traditional subscription base, but it certainly has been on our mind, and it's something that we will look into. And I would think it's likely that we'll end up experimenting with some of those different kinds of models. As for advertising explicitly, personally, I don't want to see advertisements from the real world in my fantasy world, not in Star Trek. It might work in some MMOs, but not in Star Trek.
What about as a nostalgia?
Some product placement.
Well, somebody had mentioned that in certain environments within the United Federation of Planets, like a bar, that you could see a Remember Pepsi, you know, that it could be done, that in certain locations it could be done in a meaningful way without, you know, hey, you know, you're flying by McDonald's.
That is a very good idea. Yeah, you're right. There's probably good ways to put it in there. You know, obviously, you don't want to open up the floodgates with that stuff.
No, of course not. Yeah, and that's the first thing people think right away. They're like, you know, I don't want to see it. And again, if we think about the far-flung future as it really may be, I can't see humans giving up their nostalgia. We just love too many things that are old.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting idea. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I'd also hate to see Star Trek Online lose millions of dollars potentially in revenue from advertisers.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you can get the Brookings Institute to approve the list of people that might be around in a 1,000 years, 100 years, 200 years.
Okay, guys, I think we've probably taken enough of Darren's time now. So, I mean, unless there's anything else you'd like to add, Darren, in conclusion.
Well, I think, I think nothing springs to mind about the game. I think you guys have asked great questions, and I think it's given me a chance to, I hope, give some new answers and some firm up some things in certain areas. But I do want to thank you guys for this opportunity, and you know, even more so thank you guys for what you guys have done for the community and supporting the fans out there and creating the forums and moderating the forums, and it's really been helpful to us, and it's been a very enjoyable experience.
It's a pleasure, and we hope you consider us for future episodes as things release.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Darren. We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you.
And,
yep, cheers, Darren.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Dang, Zach, that went really well. It wasn't even as scary as I thought it was going to be. Darren turned out to be a really great guy. I hope we continue to get more interviews, like you said. Oh, hey, before we go, we better tell everybody about the competition.
Sure thing, Canis. Well, as I said earlier on, this is the first ever Hailing Frequency competition. Now, I'm hoping we can make these competitions a regular thing. However, it's going to be largely funded by sponsors and donations. No money, no competitions. I got the idea for this week's competition from a radio station I listen to when I drive into work each day, called Essex FM. And the competition this week is called Hailing Frequency Secret Sound. Here's how it works. In a moment, I'm going to play an audio clip or sequence from a famous Star Trek moment. Listeners have to correctly guess what show or movie the clip is from, and what moment in the show or movie it's from. You can send in your answers a number of ways. By email. Send an email to competitions@hailingfrequency.co.uk, including your answer, your name, and be sure to include the words Hailing Frequency Secret Sound in the subject line. You can also send in your answers by phone, but only if you're in the United States. You can call 206-222-2324 and leave a voicemail with your message. Again, be sure to include your answer, your name, and an email address or telephone number that we can contact you by if you win. If we receive more than one correct answer, all answers will be put into a randomization program, and a winner will be chosen at random. The winner of this competition will receive a brand new factory sealed copy of Star Trek Away Team and Star Trek Hidden Evil. Okay folks, here's this week's secret sound. Listen carefully. There you have it, folks. That's this week's Secret Sound. Now, you can find all the information for this week's competition on Hailing Frequency website at www.hailingfrequency.co.uk. Speaking of the website, we're launching a brand new Hailing Frequency website to coincide with the launch of this episode that you're listening to. So chances are the new website's up now as you're listening. So be sure to check it out. That address again, hailingfrequency.co.uk.
All right, folks. Well, that pretty much wraps up the show. Remember to get those answers in to the Secret Sound. Time's running out. Hey, speaking of time, is that the game clock?
What game clock?
Do you not hear that noise, that ticking noise?
Oh, yeah. What is that? It's a bomb.
You don't think it was...
This podcast is being brought to you by the Star Trek Gaming Universe. Visit www.stgu.com for the latest Star Trek news and features. That's www.stgu.com.